Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. I'm Trish Springsteen. I'm a public speaking mentor, coach and author, and typically I mentor introverts, advocates and authors, helping them to have the confidence to step up and share their message with those who need to hear it. Now, if you're in North America and you want to check in, the listen call number is 646-716-7979, and we welcome your questions. If you're outside North America and you've followed the link, tobtr.com/915-9877, just follow the links to have a message, or you can message me, send me a private message on Facebook, and I'll get your message and pass them on, any questions, to our guest today. Now, our guest speaker is a very dear friend of mine, and that is Di Riddell. And Di is a confidence mentor, a speaker, a self-published author, facilitator, and MC. Welcome, Di. It's lovely to have you here today.
Thank you. It's lovely to be with you.
I'm very much looking forward to speaking with you shortly. And when
I'm looking forward to it too. It's wonderful.
Yeah. We'll have a very big, long chat, I'm sure. We're probably going to run out of time, listeners, because we've got a lot to talk about. And Di's going to be sharing her tips and her experience about something that we could all need to have, and they'll probably sometimes need to work on, and that's confidence. Now, before we get to speaking of Di, as usual, I'm going to share with you an answer to one of the frequently asked questions that I get. Now, today's question, this came to when I talked to people a lot, and they said, you know, and I often mention them that we need to know your audience. Now, about that time, quite often people said, well, why should I know your audience? What is it so important about the audience that you are specifically speaking about it? What does it mean? And really, people, they are vital to public speaking, because without an audience, you really don't have anybody to speak to. So the reason that you need to know about them is if you've been putting all together, you've got a message and you've got a passion, and you've been asked to go and speak somewhere, you need to find a few things out about your audience. I've talked to you before about how to know your destination and to know where you want to go and what your aim is in speaking and what you want to share. And this can be changed and influenced by who your audience is. For example, are they males or females, or are they a mixture? What's the age group? What's the demographics? What are they expecting? Are they expecting to be entertained, informed, motivated? All of this is going to influence how you put together your presentation to achieve your aim in speaking. You're going to need to know how many there are. Now, that can be a really vital aspect. It's nothing worse, people, than expecting to speak to 10 people and walking into a room and finding 50 or 100, that can really put a dent in your confidence. And vice versa, if you're expecting to speak to 100, it can be a little bit of a take back when you walk in and you might only find 10. So asking a few of these questions, getting an idea and a feel about who your audience is and who you're speaking to, they're going to help you organize your presentation to achieve your aim. So a few questions before you go in to speak. some of those answers are going to help you. It means that you're going to be less confronted with the unknown. And I've spoken before about how a lot of our fear is the fear of the unknown. So these questions about finding out about your audience is going to also help you in having the confidence when you go to speak. Now, I always share tips and techniques and strategies each show. So if there's something you would like answered on the next show, email me on info@trischel.com.au, and then tune into the next show to hear your answer. Or you can send me a private message on Facebook and I'll look at your question and we can look at the answer in our next show. Now it's time to meet our guest, Di Riddell, Confidence Mentor. Hi, Di.
Good morning, Trish, and to the listeners.
Good morning. Now, before we get into delving into some of your most interesting parts and what you do and what you've got to offer, I'm just going to share a little bit about who Di is. Di is passionate about confidence for women 50 plus. Mature women have so much to offer. They have lived, lost, laughed, cried, and moved mountains. Yet sometimes life and time get in the way. And Di shares about those times. Her gift is her ability to simply and graciously help women when they say, "It's time. It's time for me." She helps to guide them as they enhance their confidence, their spirit, and their sensuality in their world. Drawing on her life experiences, skills, and inspirational stories, Di offers practical ways to boost your confidence and offer tips that you can apply in your life right away. Whether you want to be more confident in life, whether you want to be able to communicate more effectively, you find yourself saying yes when you want to say no, or you may be back on the dating scene after many years or starting over, whether it's looking at internet dating, overcoming difficulties, or you simply want to feel about yourself, there will be something you can take away from Di's presentations and having a conversation with Di. Di's engaging and entertaining presentations and her online 21-day confidence challenge are ideal for mature women of all backgrounds. Don't let your confidence slip away. Bring it out, shake it, and celebrate. She's a speaker, a self-published author, a facilitator and MC, a master practitioner of NLP, a certified life coach, and a confidence mentor. She's been a member of Toastmasters International for almost four decades and is one of the few recipients of an international presidential citation. Hi, Di, you have got a lot to offer our listeners today, haven't you?
Thank you, Trish. That sounds amazing when you read it back.
I like to read it for my guests because they type it out and they send me a little bio and sometimes it's a big bio, which I've got to shorten. But they don't often actually think about what they've typed. So when I read it back to them, it really helps them to realise just, wow, what they're doing and how amazing they are.
Then you've really got a point. And I think, I agree with you, Trish.
Yeah. And I wanted to share that with our listeners too. Now, confidence. Let's talk a little bit about confidence. How did you get all this way to being a confidence mentor? What was it that gave you that impetus that started you out that have brought you to where you are now?
Oh, gosh, my starting point for confidence would have to be Toastmasters. Having led a less than salubrious early part of my life, I was greatly lacking in confidence, self-esteem and self-worth. And that started my journey. And little did I know when I walked in as a nurse woman 39 years ago that I would be speaking, writing and doing the things that I do today. So I really think that, somewhere out there in the universe, we're led to things. I was actively encouraged through the leadership program in Toastmasters. And that certainly boosted my confidence yet again. After the death of my husband 14 years ago, which is a real pivotal point to my whole story, I wrote and self-published my story. And after doing that, I started working with women. And I decided that I'd hone in on the confidence, because that's the strength. That's what's behind everything. If you've got the confidence, you can face whatever else is around you. It just gives you that guts. It gives you the, you know, you can hang on to your resilience. Resilience, I think, hangs off confidence. And it's just, it's an ever-changing energy. It's not something you get and peg on the wall and say, woohoo, I've got it and I've got it forever. It waxes and wanes with life. And it's knowing how to access your skill level to help you back up when you fall. That's what confidence is all about.
And I couldn't agree more. It's interesting, though, that when we start talking about confidence, a lot of people really believe that they don't have much confidence. And especially many women have a lack of confidence in what they're doing. So how do we go about boosting that confidence? You say it's a skill, and you've also said it's a habit and it can be learned. So what can we do to get into the habit and learn that skill?
I think daily practices. I mean, you know, if you just look down for a moment, I'll bet you've all got clothes on. I'll bet you didn't forget to get dressed this morning, did you? So just as
I've
we learn to get
one,
dressed. Really, I thought the listeners might know. Just as you learn to get dressed, you can learn to be confident. When you learn to know who you are, to have faith in yourself, to look at the skills that you've got, because women in particular, particularly women who've been through a challenge, they've slipped and they've got absolutely nothing. But they haven't. There will have been a time in your life when you've been confident. And it's learning to tap back in with strategies, learning to tap back into those skills and to build from there. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Do you want to share
Am
some
I
of the
your
strategies?
Question?
Yep. So you're saying that we've all got it there. We've had, at some stage, we would have had some confidence that we can
go back
and tap into. So what strategies would you suggest, if someone was to come and work with you, what strategies would you suggest that we tap into, or how we can get back into that? Because sometimes there's a lot of things that have happened between that time and that have brought us to where we are now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, people look at you today and obviously they make a judgment on what they see. And they don't know what it is that you've gone through to get to the point that you're at today. So getting back to strategies, I take people through a process of letting them know what confidence is, because a lot of people think that confidence is standing on the rooftop screaming, I'm the greatest, woohoo! And that isn't what confidence is at all. That's more on the arrogant side, or perhaps hiding an insecurity. Confidence is that ever-changing energy in you that's vibrant and alive, and it just makes you sparkle. So when you think about what it is, then you think about, I ask them, when they were confident, how did they feel? How did they get it? Who contributed to them getting there? When they lost it, the same questions. What happened? Who contributed to the loss? And then I ask them to think about someone that they know who's very confident, and then to write down three attributes that that person's got, and then look at themselves, and quite often they'll have at least one of those three attributes hidden away somewhere that they're not recognising. So it's learning to acknowledge what's in you, understanding that it's not something that's permanent. It waxes and wanes with life, and that's fine. And it's just like having a challenge. I mean, you know, they say that having the skills to learn how to deal with a challenge. Well, that's what you need to do, not just solve one challenge, because a challenge is like a bus. There'll always be another one. I think the universe, when you solve a challenge, the universe just comes along and gives you a better class of challenge. So the secret is to learn the skills to deal with a challenge. With confidence, it's the same thing. There will always be more confidence that you can tap into, but it's having the skills to be able to pick up on those bits. So that's one of the things. And another thing that happens, something else that's very prevalent with women, particularly after they've been through a challenge, and that's my speciality, is that they forget how to have fun. The love life and laughter of their life because they're dealing with whatever their challenge happens to be. And it can be anything. It can be used, it can be financial, it can be health, it can be a range of things. It doesn't matter what the challenge is because the emotions that you go through are still the same. And recognizing that love and laughter has gone out of your life. And I spend a great part of the program on reintroducing that and bringing it back into your life and having fun with it and playing with it. Because as I speak from my own experience, when I went through my darkest times, I did forget how to have fun. And then in one particular instance, when I was really in the darkest of darks, when I wanted to make that change, it was like I'd almost forgotten how. But there's a lot of encouragement about putting the love, light and laughter back in your life because that's what makes a difference. And being able to laugh at yourself. Sometimes when you're not confident, you get embarrassed and you think you should have done X, Y, Z. And if you learn to laugh and think, well, so what, you know, is this stuff going to come up tomorrow? Is it World War III? Well, probably not. But we just get that feeling and it's that sort of lack of confidence. So hanging out with people who are confident, staying away from people who are confident zappers. Now, that's a really big one because okay. They're always the knockers. You know, confident zappers, and that comes into my program as well. I really do delve into that because it's a huge thing.
Do you want to share a little bit about confidence?
When someone is under being controlled, and a lot of women who've been through challenges have come out of a difficult relationship of some kind, and when they start move forward, their partner or the person who's doing the control don't like them learning to speak for themselves because they're losing control. So they will knock every little step that person makes to ensure they don't step out of line because then they've lost control. Understanding that that's what their motivation is and to spend as little time with them, if it happens it's a family thing, spend as little time with them as possible. Learn to say things that's interesting, that's an interesting point of view, and smile. Don't rise to their bait. To recognize that, you know, it says more about them than what it does about you. So it comes back to having that internal self-worth, self-esteem and self-confidence so that if you know that someone is just trying to pull you down, just smile at them and say, that's an interesting point of view. Thank you for sharing. You can say, I don't agree, and just move on to something else or move away. It's much more difficult if you're in a relationship, but if you understand what they're doing, then it gives you some basis to be able to take steps to move forward. But confidence zappers are—they're just, and we all know them—the negative Nellies of the life. It doesn't matter what you do. And the same as someone who starts to be successful sort of within a friendship group, they can be isolated because the friends don't change and they don't like to change either. So that's why you'll find once you start to move forward in various areas, often your friendship base will change because you're attracting more of the people whose energy you're putting out there. That's the sort of person that you're going to be attracting into your life, and that won't sit with wherever you've come from. And sometimes we think, oh, God, I can't possibly leave a relationship behind. And I would never tell someone to split a relationship. That's entirely their decision. But I can point out the pros and the cons and leave them to make an informed decision. It's not a confidence mentor's role to tell someone to leave a relationship. That I would never do that.
No. But informed decisions, I'm very much in favour of informed decisions, of knowing... Yeah. Who you are, knowing the situation, and then making your decision based on that. And I agree, absolutely. Mentors aren't there to make the decisions for you.
Exactly.
One of my beliefs of mentors is that a mentor's there to believe in yourself until you have the confidence to believe in you. So for you as a mentor, a confidence mentor, that's what you're believing in them until they have that confidence. And then when they've got that confidence.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then they've got that confidence, they can make the informed decision. I think what you do is extremely vital for development, empowerment, and especially for women, because it's something
absolutely.
That that is just not out there. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about your book, why you wrote it, what was a little bit about what it is, and what that's meant for you in your journey?
Okay, yeah, the book was really a vital part, and that came about, the pivotal point was the death of my husband 14 years ago, and dealing with my grief, and it was absolute because, you know, I was in a very a lovely relationship for 31 years, dealing with my grief, my past came up, something that I thought I'd buried away. So in brief, I had a violent alcoholic father who told me I was stupid, useless and worthless from when I could stand up, that I wasn't worth educating and a waste of space. A lot of abuse in the family. By the time I was a teenager, I was tall and gangly, and I had no self-confidence, no self-esteem, and no self-worth. I went looking for love, and rape found me. A pregnancy and an adoption came out of that, and the welfare workers of the day, it was enforced adoption in those days, this is back in the 1960s, it was not at all acceptable to get pregnant, it was a mortal sin. So that was all just buried. I never told anyone about that rape, ever, because of my fear of retribution. The only person I told was my husband before we got married, and then we got on with it. So I just buried that and got on with life. Dealing with my grief, it all bubbled up and it came back to bite me. And I started writing and journaling. And then I was in National Speakers at the time, and Robin Henderson, a book writing expert, I suppose you would call her, she took me under her wing somewhat and encouraged me to step forward and make that into a book. So I did. I wrote and self-published that story with the intent of not saying poor me. It's not about the story, but it is about where you've come from. It's not what happens to you. It's who you become because of your experiences and what you do with it. So my intent in writing the book was to give women who've been through a major challenge guidelines so that they can access their own power, give them some skills and some strategies to work on. But the everything behind what I'm doing is giving women the opportunity to access their own knowledge and to rebuild whatever was there before so that they can lead the life that they want to lead. And it just shows that no matter where you come from, you can recover. You can step beyond the stuff that happens in your life. We all have choices and we can choose. I mean, I could choose to sit in the corner for the rest of my life and say, poor me, my father didn't like me, blah, blah, blah. That's not what I do. And if you choose to sit there, well, you're going to have a fairly miserable life. But stepping up, and it's amazing how when you step up, things happen, and an amazing, you know, number of things happen that following the book. Really, there's been a book since the book. The book was written 10 years ago, and I'm currently doing a rewrite on it. So that's the basis of it. And I would probably write it differently if I was writing it today, but that's where I was 10 years ago. But it's still a great starting place for someone who's been through a major challenge.
Oh, look, I think to be able to step up and write that book, it was something that you needed to do at that time. And as you said, it proved to be a very major pivotal point, that and what you went through at that time. Today you're a different woman. So the book that you write today would be completely different.
Well, that's my next book.
Yeah, and we'd be looking forward to that. And that would be about where you are now.
I'm sorry,
I will be looking forward to it, and I think what would be really brilliant then is for people to read that book that you wrote 10 years and then to read the one that you're going to be producing today. And they'll be able to see someone who has actually walked the talk. She's not just a coach mentor, but she's done it. And this is how she's done it.
Everything that I teach, I've been through.
And that's what's very powerful when it comes to empowering women. I think women especially would like to be able to know that people have gone through that.
And I think a big power of empowering this too, I wouldn't want anyone to think that this is a man-bashing exercise, because it's not. There are some shocking men in the world, but there's some shocking women as well. But going back to the men for a moment, when I wrote the book, I was absolutely amazed at the level of response and support I had from male friends. So, you know, there's a lot of amazing men out there in this world, and I salute them. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when women have been through a challenge, they go down the man-hating track. And, you know, I don't think that that's not beneficial for them. It's really causing them themselves an internal issue that's going to stop them from moving forward. Being open and just understanding that there's lots of love, light and laughter out there when you go and seek it in the right places from a level of respect with your values and boundaries.
And I agree. I think it's very important that we realise that there is a balance. It is far too easy for us, for those who've been met the worst from other people, to just make that assumption. And it's an easy thing to paint that everybody with that sort of same thing.
But yes, yeah.
The brilliant males far, far, far outweigh those that are not what I would call a testament to their species. And the same with females, as you say.
Yeah.
There is pros and cons with all of them. And I think that's very
valuable. And we really do teach people how to treat us.
Yes, and that's a good statement too. I think that's one of the things that you deal with, don't you? Teaching people
It's learning your confidence. It's learning. That comes under your boundaries and values, what you will and you won't accept. And if that's not, you know, if that's not what you accept, I was in a bad place back in those days when I was a young teen, and after that first pregnancy, I still had no self-belief and self-worth, because it was a very dark time, and I let men use and abuse me for another 5 years because I didn't know any different. And it was a second pregnancy before something happened, and I suddenly realised. I was at my boyfriend's parents' place one weekend, and he hit her, and he came home drunk, the father, and knocked his mother across the room. And when she stood up, she looked at me and said, "I suppose I deserve that." She hadn't done anything. He came home drunk and cranky and didn't like what was for dinner. I looked at her and I thought, it was like a light bulb went off in my head, and I thought, that's going to be you. Get out. And that was a pivotal point in my life.
Yeah, so that would be one of the defining moments for
absolutely.
You, was that?
Absolutely, yeah.
And what happened after that? When that defining moment happened?
I made that decision and walked away, and I found out that I was pregnant, so I went through it twice. So the welfare workers had an absolute field day with me the second time. I was beyond redemption. I was a disgrace to the human race. I was unclean and I was unworthy, and I should go nursing and get out of society's way because no decent man would want me. So that's what I did. I went off. I went nursing. I became officious and efficient. And, yes, that's exactly what I did. And then my husband walked into my life. The man in my life who became my husband.
And that was your next defining moment for you?
Absolutely. Oh, that was an absolute defining moment. Yes. I grew into, under Les's love, support, and just looking after me, I grew into the woman that I am today. He was one of the major contributors in encouraging me to join Toastmasters in that first place, because I sort of did that a bit back to front as well, because Les had four children aged 10 to 16. And I was 24, so I took on those four teenagers, and I didn't have the skills to deal with them as well as I could have. And then we had a son the next year, so and I'd gone from nursing quarters into the corporate sugar world, which is where my husband worked, and nothing in my life had set me up to be able to be that person. So I had a lot of very quick learning to deal with.
And that would have been a really important part of your life, I think. I can see where that would have changed.
Oh, it was a very important part of my life. But you can see why my past got pushed into the background. I was very much busy dealing with the present.
Yeah, and we do that. We deal with the present. We'll just hold that thought for a moment, and we'll come back and have a look a bit further about your journey and where it's taken you. And I'll just do a reminder. Yep. I'll just do a reminder to anybody listening. If you wish to call in and pose a question for our guest today, in America, obviously, you may call in on 646-716-7979. And outside North America, you can call in on the follow your links that you did with that tobtr.com/915-9877. Follow the links to the chat. You can put your questions there. Or, of course, you can PM me on Facebook and I will pass your questions on to Di. We are speaking with Di Riddell. Di Riddell is a confidence mentor, and it's been really fascinating to discuss with Di her views about confidence and how you can lose it so easily and how you can get it back. And more importantly, from my perspective, I think it's been fascinating to hear snippets of Di's journey so that we can see how she's evolved from someone who's been told many times that she was not worthy, which doesn't help anybody in their confidence, to the couple of pivotal points in her life, which has brought her to where we are today. And I really think that's brilliant because I know Di personally, and I know just how confident she is today and it, with everything that she has done. I wanted to see, which, other than those points, we've covered the pivotal points in your background and the pivotal points with the story. What was the next critical choice you made that sort of made a difference in your life after the story and that getting that out? What happened next?
My confidence in myself, in thinking, okay, I've been on my own for some years now, it's time to move forward. So it's been a very interesting journey going down the dating track. And we could be here for another hour if we go down that track. There's been the good, the bad and the ugly. But I now have a lovely man in my life and I'm very happy about that. So that's been a huge thing. And I went down a very big self-development path. So the combination of those two things and my quest for ongoing learning. I love to learn something new. I like to be in there and having a go and be involved and be connected because that's what keeps me alive and vital.
And would you say that quest for ongoing learning and the self-development path is what's come out of you gaining that confidence, but also has has allowed you to keep that confidence?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So that I've got strategies I can fall back on. I've got a network that I can fall back on. And most people already have that as well. They're just not aware of it because they get buried in the stuff that's there.
Let's talk a little bit about that network thing because I think that's important and not always easy to get to and to identify. So do you want to share a little bit about how you've developed that network or how you help people realize about that network?
Well, I think a lot of networks developed over the years that I wasn't aware I was doing. It happened just simply by my being involved in things. I've always been involved in my community, and I've had a huge involvement in Toastmasters over many, many years. Those friendships were invaluable when I was in dark spots. Getting yourself out and involved in networks that serve who and what you do. So, you might go to something about, if you're into essential oils, or you go to something where women hang out about that. So it's about the common interest thing. And it might be patchwork. My patchwork friends, they were an absolute backbone to me also at the time that I was moving forward. So it's not always about something that you can't write it up on a board and say, I've done all these things, but all those networks are the ones that just, they're there to catch you. They're there where you can go and just be you and learn to step forward. And each of us will have a handful of people that we can go to. And I think that handful of people that you trust absolutely are your backbone. And again, they can come from just anywhere and they will change over life. But that's how I see the power of a network. It's something to catch you when you're having a bad day, you can pick up the phone, or like I could ring up here and I'd say, Trish, I'm having a bad day, can I just have a chat? No, this is what's going on. And quite often a friend can give you that touch of reality. At the time that I was going through a lot of issues and I went to, I lost 12 kilos. I'm tall and slim. I'm 5'10" and I dropped to 51 kilos a year after Les passed away. And I ended up at a psychologist because I was diagnosed with depression. And that was what she was doing, about showing me a reality. I would go in there weeping and wailing about two things. And she'd say, well, when you were here last time, you had six things. What happened to the other four? And I would not acknowledge them. And I think that happens with confidence. We don't acknowledge, a lot of women don't acknowledge how far they've come, what they've got, and what they can do. They're so busy concentrating on what I can't do. When you start looking about what you can do, that's going to help you. And you're going to get that touch of reality from your networks.
And that raises another issue for me. I'd just like to get you to share. How do we go about, and have you got any strategies or tips that you use to get us into an acknowledgement phase where we do acknowledge what we're doing?
I do it with journaling. When I'm mentoring somebody, when I'm speaking to them, I write down the negative statements they say about themselves. So they don't know that I'm doing it. They don't realise I might be taking notes, but they don't know what I'm doing. And then at the end of the session, I say, this is what you've said today. I would like you to go away and replace those negative statements with positive ones. And then they come back with the positive ones. And then I say to them, now I'd like you to write a list of the achievements that you've made, the things that have been important in your life. And when they write that and see it right in front of them, it's in their handwriting, their words and their achievements. And they don't have to be up, they don't have to be mountain climbing. But when you see, it's just incredible what when you read it and look at it, how much you've achieved in your life. Women are very much under acknowledged themselves.
And I couldn't agree more. I feel that, yeah.
It's a big realisation for women when that's done for them. And then you can start holding them accountable.
Yeah.
When they slip and go into the poor me's, and actually someone did it to me last night. And that's the value of networks. Someone pulled me up about something last night when I was at a function, and it was exactly the same thing, and it's that touch of reality and think, oh, yes. So those little gentle reminders, and often done in humour, and it was last night, it was done in humour. But the message has got through. We learn in moments of enjoyment, which is one of those strongholds out of Toastmasters, but it evolves, it applies to life.
And I think you've just highlighted the value of having that network of people who can step in and just sort of say, don't go down there, you're sort of doing something. And if you've got that network, it shortcuts that downward spiral.
Absolutely.
That you can get
well, I'll
into.
Tell you what it is, and then you'll understand what I'm saying. You know, I'm 69 years of age, and at times I think, oh, I can't do that because I'm getting older. Oh, this didn't work because I'm too old. And I said that last night, and someone pulled me up short. Mind you, she's 28 years of age, and she pulled me up short. And, you know, we had a laugh about it then, and everyone else, it was a small group. There were about a dozen of us, I suppose. And that touch of reality just came bouncing back at me. You know, it's very easy for us to think, I can't do this because I'm too young, too old, too fat, too skinny. And that's got nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing to do with it. But it needs a friend who will say that to you.
And that's true. It's something that we see a lot in the media, in life at the moment. We are very quick to label things, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. But, I'd like to focus on what confident women do differently. And that comes into the 21-day challenge.
Okay.
And you start to think about, what do confident women do differently? So, you know, do you want me to just a couple of them?
Yes. Yeah,
they know how to access that inner knowledge and to use it to their benefit. They'd given up on being the superwoman. They realized that that doesn't work. That gentleness and that sensuality thing is coming back into women. Confident women know how to stand in their power. They don't hide in their shadow. They accept themselves for what they are, and they're realistic. And they have strategies for dealing with challenges. They're just the things that have slipped off the top of my head. But they're the things that we need to look at. What do confident women do differently? And everyone will see something different. So I would suggest to the listeners that they just observe people around them, what they see on telly, something, and watch someone and think, I admire the confidence in that person. Because to me, quiet confidence, it's like it's when you look at someone and you just know. You know you trust them. You know what they're talking about. And you know that they know what they're doing. That's confidence.
Who's been a role model for you for confidence, Di?
Would you believe Coco Chanel?
Lovely. Why?
Now, she... Why? Because of what she did. That woman was born, I think it was 1882. For her to have made what she did in her lifetime, coming from, because she had a very poor background, for her to achieve what she did was absolutely amazing. And she really gave, I've got a workshop actually based around her, and she gave the world three things. She released them from their corsets. That was her change in fashion. And That can come across to letting go of your disbeliefs, of your negative attitudes, releasing you from you know, your own constrictions. Mm-hmm. Chanel No. 5, the perfume. I mean, it's the best perfume known perfume in the world. And what Marilyn Monroe was asked what she wore to bed, and she said Chanel No. 5. So that's about bringing the love, light, and laughter back into your life, and the little black dress. Now, she didn't invent the little black dress, but she popularized it. And the little black dress will be represented differently to every person. So it's not about actually a physical black dress. It's what is your sparkle? What is it that makes you look, feel, and do something fabulous? Because that's what the little black dress does. It makes a woman look fabulous. So for all of the listeners, take a moment to stop and think, what do I look fabulous in? For you, Trish, it's purple.
Absolutely.
That's your equivalent of the little black dress. You look good in it. You love it. You live it. You breathe it. So each of us will have a different representation. And those three things are just amazing. So what that woman went through. And, you know, she wasn't all froth and bubbles, you know, but she was an amazing woman. I researched her. When I started working down the confident, I actually went looking for quotes. And I had a few mature women, and Coco Chanel wasn't even on the list. And I was looking at them, and I didn't like the connotation of some of the quotes that were associated with very famous women. And every now and again, I kept coming across Coco Chanel things, and I said, oh, that's interesting. So I started to look into it. So I've done a lot of background work on her.
Very good. Sorry, Diane, I think I just lost you.
Oh, did you? Oh, that's no good.
Yeah, that's okay. No, you're back now. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I got you back. That's okay. So that would be an exercise that you would recommend to people, is to go and do some research like you did and see who pops up that you can resonate with.
Yes.
Very good. I actually like Maggie Thatcher. She's someone that I can really resonate with.
Oh, yes, yes.
I find her a very confident person to
absolutely
share around.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So let's look. If I were to ask you, I suppose maybe two lessons you've learnt or insights from your life, what would you share with us? I know we've delved a lot
you
into
this. That you're not what happens to you. And that you have an amazing amount of resources within you that you can reach out and improve them. And remember to have love, light, and laughter in your life. They're the three things that I think make me sparkle.
Okay. So we've touched a little bit on networking and I'll probably maybe come back a little bit to maybe self-improvement. Because I'm looking to ways that once people have worked with you and they've got this aha and they've taken on board, because I think those are great, but not what happens to you makes you and the amazing lessons that you can learn, love the life. I'm just sort of looking to see what can we leave people with to work on to ensure that they keep going in the direction that they want to go?
For me, it would be journaling.
Mm-hmm.
To keep a little copy of your life so that when you're having a bad day, just go back and look. Have a look at things and think, oh. So I think journaling is the absolute bee's knees, and for a strategy, I don't think you can go past tapping EFT. That is just such a wonderful skill for releasing negative emotions and for just pumping you up with positivity like you wouldn't believe.
Do you want to share a little bit? I know that you're not an EFT expert, unless you are, and I haven't realised that.
I'm not an expert, but I do use it. I do use it in mentoring, and I do use it in the confidence challenge.
Yep, because I actually do myself. Do you want to just share a little bit on that for our listeners who may not be aware? I know it's actually trending and a lot of people are, but there are still a lot of people out there who don't understand what tapping or EFT is. So if you want to just share a little bit about that for us.
Yeah, very briefly. Yeah, Craig. Yeah. Oh, so Craig, I can't think of his name. The guy who developed it. Yeah, my mind's gone blank. But it doesn't matter. I started on it someone started me on it about releasing negative emotions, and it's very good for that. And I think that's what it was originally intended for. It's tapping on points, on meridian points, on your head and around your face, at the base of your neck and your wrists and your little finger. And that can vary with different practitioners. But the value in it is in the energy that comes out of it. I work by releasing whatever the issue is, talking about it in a very negative state, and then getting to a point and saying, hang on, what if I made a mistake? What if I was mistaken? What if I just changed my mind? What if I changed my attitude? And then start tapping in the positive, and I have a very good response rate from that with myself and with other people. And I've used it. I used it with a couple of people who were standing for positions, and I used EFT to gee them up with positivity prior to them going on stage, and they were on fire. It was very effective for that.
Yes.
So it's a very effective thing. If you Google it, there are endless things on YouTube. Gary Craig, that's the guy's name who started it. You can Google it. There is just endless YouTube things out there. It's a very simple procedure, but it's very effective. And if it's done as a daily practice, and I have a 5-minute daily exercise that I use when I'm mentoring as well, and those in combination done at the beginning of your day put you in a great mood before you get out of bed.
Oh, if you can start the day great, then the rest of it just flows, I believe.
Absolutely.
I've seen that happen.
Yeah. And supported with mirror work.
Ah, so tell me about mirror work. Very briefly.
Mirror work is, I don't know actually where it came from, but I learned the technique through Louise Hay. And I use that in my 5-minute confidence plan. To close your eyes, hold a mirror, a hand mirror, very close to your face. Close your eyes and think about somebody who loves you unconditionally. And then open your eyes and look directly into your own eyes and feel what that person would be feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then spend the next minute telling you. And women struggle with that big time. They just really struggle against the fact that they can look in a mirror and tell themselves how wonderful they are.
So they spend the next minute telling themselves how wonderful they are.
Yeah, how awesome they are. Their assets and what they've done and what they've accomplished. and then follow that up with some tapping, you will have a great day. Nothing surer.
I think, look, thanks so much for that, Di. You've given us amazing information and a lot of things to digest about confidence. I thank you so much for sharing your story with us. The one question I'm going to ask you just before we go is two things. Mm-hmm. So my final question would be, what do you think makes a great speaker and why? In just about a minute or so.
Well, the first thing is connection.
Mm-hmm.
Connection and authenticity. You can tell when someone's up there speaking from their heart and they're speaking to you. If you don't have a connection, then there's not much point in talking to anybody. And if you're not being authentic, an audience can pick it in a moment and they'll switch off. So I think connection and authenticity. And
absolutely.
Then, of course, confidence in yourself would be the three things that I think are very important for a speaker.
And thank you for sharing that. I agree.
It's my pleasure, so Trish. It was lovely to talk to you.
Thank you. Now, just before we go, I've got a few couple of things to do. But for you, where can people find you if they want to know more? And how about sharing? You've got a 21-day confidence challenge starting the next one, the 29th of August. So if
that's
people
correct.
Want to...
Yes, it's online. Yep. So it's there are little daily exercises to do. There's a daily video, and I add some other text that goes with it to support it. That's Monday to Friday. And then on the weekends, there's a fun activity. So that gives you an opportunity to catch up if you've got caught lighthearted to do on the weekend that you can pull on with later.
Excellent. And where can they go to find out more information about that?
They can go by my website at www.diredell.com, and there's a page in there to be able to do it, and I'm sure that you'll have a link somewhere that they can pick up on.
Yeah, when we...
To have some participants. It would be fabulous.
Oh, I think anyone that doesn't take you up on that offer should do. You can always have more confidence. And even those who feel confident, doing a 21-day challenge of you would be just great to just boost that confidence. If we're feeling a little bit down, it would be a great boost
for that.
That's
exactly the point, yes. And it's $97, and that includes a 45-minute session with me.
Absolutely.
A private session.
Great. That's on Di's website. That's www.diredell.com. There will be links on the replay for us all to follow. And you can go there to see where that challenge is. Thank you. I've enjoyed speaking with you, Di. It's been a wonderful and very quick 40 minutes that we've shared. It's gone by very fast.
Yeah, time's gone so quickly, hasn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I'd love to get you back sometime just to talk about your experiences with dating, because I think that would be fascinating to hear for those people who are later in life.
And, the dating thing and the sensuality for mature women is very important.
Absolutely. Okay.
Yes, I'd love to come back. But it was a delight to speak with you today, and I hope the listeners have gained from my experience. And remember, you're all awesome. Women are bloody wonderful.
Aren't we just? But we allow the men to be a bit awesome as well. We just allow them.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes.
But we are. Thank you, Di. Now, for those who are regular listeners, you're aware I always finish up with a quote. Now, interestingly enough, I looked at the quote today, and there was a couple of quotes, and I've had two in mind, and I've been listening to Di speaking throughout and thinking which one of these quotes really fits in to what we've been talking about. And I'm going to go with this one, and this is from Oprah Winfrey. The other quote, following up, was from Bruce Lee. But this one, I think, is it. And the quote goes, "It is confidence in our bodies, minds, and spirits that allows us to keep looking for new adventures." And I think that quote really sums up what Di has been sharing with us during our conversation, because it's the value that Di brings when she helps you to gain or regain that confidence. And when we've got confidence, when we are really owning who we are, and we are in our own skins, then it really does open our minds and our bodies and spirits, because the whole three go together. You get confidence in one aspect of who you are, and suddenly it flows into all the other areas of who you are. So that when you've got an open mind, when your spirit is soaring, when you're feeling comfortable in your body, you do have then those opportunities to look for new adventures. And you feel ready to take on and step outside your comfort zone. And that's really empowering, because the more we step outside our comfort zone, the more we develop. Now, one of the things that I quite often share with my mentoring clients is that you can be in a pool of water. Now, if that pool of water is just still and there's no stream flowing through, it very quickly becomes stagnant. And unless we have that confidence to break down the walls around our pool of water and let the stream flow through and take us with it, then we can very easily stagnate in what we're doing in our complacency and end up going down a spiral. So the value that Dai brings with helping you to regain that confidence allows you to break down the walls in your pool or the walls that are surrounding you for you to go and explore new adventures. And the more new adventures you explore, the more that you develop and the more fun you have in your life. So that brings us to the end of our show today. If you need to know more information from Dai, there will be links in the replay. You can contact me at info@trischel.com.au. Send me any of your questions for the next show. You can connect with me on Facebook. If you put Trischel Innovative Communication Training, it'll come up. If you want to talk to me about mentoring or having a discovery session, or if you would like me to speak at one of your events, you can contact me on my website, which is trishspringsteen.com. That's trishspringsteen.com. And I look forward to sharing more with you on our next show. And just saying thank you again, Dai, and have
thank
an
you.
Awesome weekend, Dai. Thank you. And we'll see you next time, people. Let's see and have an awesome weekend and an awesome week.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Catch you next time, Dai. Bye.
Okay, bye.